Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Welcome to another episode of Gold Diggers UK. Today we have
Tima at teams underscore GH,
Philippa at Philippa Akko,
Joyce at underscore JM Carl,
Sakal at Sagalme,
Julie at underscore J Rosada.
Welcome, girls. How are we all?
Good. Could have been better.
A lot to run through. A double games week for some of us. Some were competing in Europe. Talk about that, but it's only right we start at the bridge. United and Chelsea, another draw. This is factually the most drawn fixture in the Premier League era, so that's the first stat of the day. So it's only right I start with you, Tima. Is United and Chelsea the most boring top six game?
No.
If that's not ridiculous. then who is?
I don't know. What question? I don't know. I have no idea. I actually don't know. I wouldn't say it's boring. I think it is, because Chelsea haven't beaten Manchester United in 10 fixtures now. I think I was actually there the last, I think I was at the bridge the last time, if I'm correct, Chelsea spanked Manchester United 4-0. We should have won the game. There's no excuses. Like, we didn't play great, but you got, what, a minute and a half, 90 seconds. Hold on, like, how are you conceding goals like that? So annoying, man.
Is there anyone else on the panel today that agrees that United and Chelsea are not the most boring top six fixture?
No, in recent years, it's definitely been the most boring top six fixture. It's been either, like, 0-0 or 1-1 for the last few times, so. And it's not, like, an historical, I guess, rivalry. There is a rivalry between Chelsea and United, but it's not, like, United and City or United and Liverpool or anything like that, so. Yeah, it's quite a plain fixture.
Tima, what do you think about that?
I mean, to be honest, it's not something I've actually ever thought about.
Like, and now you're thinking about it.
Yeah, you're thinking about it. You agree? See where we're coming from, innit?
Like, did you enjoy yesterday's match?
I didn't enjoy it because my team were playing like a piece of shit.
Okay. Fair enough.
But, like, it's not for me. I suppose it's hard when you're in, because not that I played the game, but when you're in the intensity, I'm not in it for, like, entertainment value.
Understood.
So, like, you guys are probably in the better position to tell me whether it's a boring fixture or not. Like, I'm in it for the intensity, so I don't really care about new neutrals.
Okay.
But yeah,
that's fair. I think that's completely fair. But it's just like when you think about it, you know, like there's teams that you don't want to see at like your stadium. You're like, oh, this is going to be like a really intense game. Mm. Like, surely you don't feel that about United games. You don't feel like that about going to Old Trafford,
right.
Or do you?
But it is an intense game. It is an intense game because there's two teams you don't want to lose.
Mm.
And yesterday's game was proof that both teams didn't want to lose. I don't think they necessarily wanted to win either, because they didn't play like they wanted to win, but they definitely didn't want to lose. And I think that's the problem with that fixture. A lot of the time, both teams don't want to lose rather than really concentrating on winning. So maybe you're right, maybe it is the most boring top six fixture.
Okay, just on the opposite end of that then, Julie, what would you say the best top six fixture is? What's the one you look forward to the most?
North London Derby.
Sagal?
Yeah, probably the North London Derby, I can't lie.
Joyce?
Yeah, North London Derby.
Timo?
Man City Liverpool.
Philippa?
Why are you giggling? Sorry. No, I think actually it is between like the city, it's between City and Liverpool and the North London Derby.
I'm actually going to disagree with all of you and say Chelsea Tottenham.
Oh,
recently it's become very spicy. Yeah. But then
yes.
I would argue also last season it was a complete washout where it just Chelsea.
But then do you think that's the one top stick fixture where you get a bit of the old school feel of the Premier League, like the tackles go flying, there's cards, there's aggression, there's passion,
yeah,
there's
to, a degree, yeah. to a degree,
and sometimes yeah, yeah. that's what football fans look for.
When you put it like that,
yes.
Yeah. Why are you smiling like that, Seymour?
I'm just thinking about all the times you've beaten Tottenham. It's shout out to Lauren, man.
You're right, because the problem with the City Liverpool game is it doesn't have that kind of like that rivalry. It's not like they like each other. Pep and Klopp are like besties, so it's not enjoyable.
It's manufactured. It's manufactured rivalry. Yeah.
But you know, not genuine. Do you know why I say it's the most enjoyable? Because you've got two top teams, like literally, not like attacking each other. Not even sitting back. Mm. A lot of the time in the other fixtures, there's one team sitting back. That fixture, they're both attacking. Like it's just completely leaving everything out there in terms of quality. In terms of quality, it's the best one, by far. I think North London Derby has got good recently because Tottenham have
got better.
Decided not to disgrace London, but I mean, but yeah, so. And realistically, like, both the teams are kind of not equal because I still think Arsenal are the better team and have been over the years, despite what the league table says. But they're kind of on a par, so I can see why people say North London Derby and it's a proper rivalry. But for me, Man City Liverpool for quality.
Mm. Okay, now to the football. Graham Potter, Sagal, what did you make of his tactics against your team?
That first half. Do you know what? I was like not looking forward to the game, but I was definitely optimistic at getting the 3 points at the Bridge, which is not something I would often say. But after our performance against Spurs, I was like, yeah, like we can beat this Chelsea side. And I thought that first 30 minutes, we were really impressive. We were definitely on top of Chelsea. We were dominating the midfield. We were getting the second balls. And if it wasn't for a few like poor finishes by Rashford and Anthony be completely left-footed, like that boy cannot use his right foot to save his life, we should have been ahead at half-time. Obviously Potter made some changes at like the 30th minute where he brought Kovacic on, and Chelsea definitely had a period where they became on top after, but then I think Ten Hag reacted to that by bringing Fred on in the second half. So it was a really interesting game. It was a bit like a game of chess. Like, both managers are quite intellectual despite what the Chelsea fans think of Potter, and I think they both kind of balanced each other out, so a 1-1 was fair enough at the end of the day. But, you know, just to say one thing though is we were dominating Spurs and Conte didn't react. Like, he didn't change anything. He didn't, like, see the problem. Mm. And Potter did. Potter realised, like, bro, we're not getting any, like, help in midfield. And he brought Kovacic on and that changed the game. So, you know, shout out to Potter for that.
Joyce, do you think it was naive of Potter to not start Mateo Kovacic in a big six game?
To a degree, yeah, because it was definitely visible that he was missing in the game. And I think once he brought him on, there was definitely a lot more productivity on the pitch, I believe.
Timo?
My guy saw Cucurella playing against, I can't remember who, Aston Villa, get roasted. My guy has the Bozo jeans. He didn't... and he thought a top 16 that he could still play this player at left centre-back.
Yeah.
But he's crazy. He's delusional.
Was the issue? Was it like the formation? It was the five at the back was the problem.
No. It was, I think with Koulibaly, it makes more sense.
Okay.
But still, he should have played Kovacic.
Yeah.
And if Koulibaly is injured, you go four at the back. You don't bring in Cucurella. You understand? What's he there for, man? What's he doing? It was a complete... And when he took him off, like, to be fair, I was glad that he recognised the error of his ways early on and he didn't wait until half time.
Yeah. Right.
And then we got more control of the game. But my problem at the beginning is why he thought, after watching Cucurella, as I said, against Aston Villa, he thought, yeah, my man is going to like hold down that left side. No. No, no, no. No. I don't ever want to see that again. And to be honest, Cucurella is on Flop Watch.
Oh, already? Me. Already? Yeah. Yeah. Already?
Yep.
Yeah.
Do you know
63
what?
63 million you pay for him.
Do you know what? I understand why you feel that way. I really do. I don't think it's unfair to feel like that. I just feel like Potter knows Cucurella better than we do, right? He's been playing, exactly. He's playing for Brighton for a very long time. You know exactly what formations he works in. Yeah. And so I thought it was actually quite mean for him to put him in that sort of position. It's like Connor Cody, right? Connor Cody left Wolves because he can't play for it in the back.
Yeah.
So it's like, why would you put a player like a defender in that sort of formation when you know it don't work? So I don't know, I don't want to put him on Flop Watch, but I understand why you feel that. Yeah.
Then if you take that into account, right, is 63 million a lot to invest in a fullback if Graham Potter eventually wants to shift to a back four when the likes of Fofana and Koulibaly come back in?
It is a lot if he's not going to be first choice, and it looks like Chilwell is first choice. Both of them are a bit stinky this season, I'm not gonna lie.
Chilwell was a that's bit not Potter signing, so
yeah.
What's the issue?
I'm not saying it is Potter signing, yeah. But I'm saying the way that Cucurella's played, for me, I'm not seeing what we paid 63 million for. A lot of Chelsea fans are backing him and saying that he needs time, but for me, I think he's had 1.5 good games. The rest of the time,
what games were those for you, Tima?
His debut, he came on against. Sorry, I can't remember the top of my head, but I think he came on for, like, he substituted on for his debut. He looked really, really good, really intense, like, intensity and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think against Tottenham as well, I think those are the only two good games I personally have seen him have. But then, like, playing at left centre-back, I suppose, also doesn't help him. But there's moments that he lacks concentration. And that top, that's why I say he's got the Bozo gene. Because at the top level, you can't do that, man. You can't do that. You can't. You're going to get punished for it. He's got lucky in terms of Manchester United game and against Aston Villa, but his luck's going to eventually run out.
Damn.
Okay, let's go from disapproval to a bit of praise. Julie, Lisandro Martinez, how do you think he's settled into the Premier League?
Yeah, I think he's had a really, really, really good time, especially yesterday. I don't know if you got mad at the match. Did you not?
Yeah,
oh, he did.
Yeah, but yeah, in general, he looked good. I mean, I know he's getting a bit of heat at first, but
yeah. Unfairly.
Nah, it's not unfairly, man. Unfairly. That price, I get to prove it.
Yeah, he did.
You had to prove it.
Pundits were saying he was too short to be a centre back for the Premier League. Jamie Carragher.
Oh.
But I want to see him. I want to see him alongside someone else that is not Varane.
He's played with Lindelof though. Varane's been injured. Varane's been in and out.
Let's see long term.
So what? Let's who's the top three centre back in the Premier League?
I who?
Lissandra Martinez, 100%.
Ooh, that's a very big.
Hang on,
that's a big statement to me.
And a reach.
Don't be a size queen.
Hang on, Segal, please name the other two.
Yes,
at the moment, Van Dijk and Saliba. So, but
I know Thiago Silva.
Thiago Silva, are you?
I forgot about Thiago Silva. Maybe top five, but still.
Do you know what? I like a self-aware queen who corrects herself. It's cool.
Honestly,
like,
I was about to flip the table.
No, but for real, if we're saying he's not been in the Premier League that long, he's been in the Premier League equally as long as Saliba. So people are saying Saliba's already allowed to be the top three centre-back in the Premier League.
Who said that?
I was going to say.
People have been saying Saliba's one of the best centre-backs in the Premier League. Am I lying, Shai?
Well, she's on.
This is a panel of realists here, babe. Yeah. This is a panel of realists.
I mean, I ain't ever said
if
that.
If we're being honest, Saliba's been performing better than Van Dijk. That's what I have to say.
He's been performing very well. Yeah,
he's been, for sure. No, he's not better than Van Dijk. No, but for this season, better,
currently,
for this
yeah,
season,
no, currently,
as of right
yeah.
now, he's been performing better 100%. Than Van
Dijk. Can be same at the same time, like right at the same time, innit?
Yeah.
He's not a better setting back than Van Dijk, but Van Dijk's out here conceding penalties, losing to Nottingham.
I just want five centre backs that are better than Lissandra Martinez at the moment. At the moment.
Team on, go on.
Let's go.
Five.
So you've already mentioned two.
I don't want to hear, if I hear Koulibaly or Fofana or anything like that, then I'm ready.
I never said anything.
Okay,
let's go.
Wait, no answer, please.
Let's get Team on answer. Go on,
okay,
Team.
Okay, let's go.
In no particular order.
Cool.
Van Dijk.
One.
Yes.
Okay, Fez.
Thiago Silva.
All right, okay, two.
Why did you set up so much?
Because she forgot his name.
He does play in a back five. But anyway, keep going.
Okay.
He was in the back four yesterday as well.
He was in about five first.
And then yeah, and then
four.
We went to about yeah. four. Yeah. Okay, cool. Guys. Just to establish the facts.
We can see mm-hmm.
Diaz.
Yep, three.
Laporta.
No,
Laporta.
I'm so sorry. I'm not taking this Diaz nonsense. No.
Oh, why?
Diaz
let's let Tima finish and then you can explain why.
All right, Diaz, who else? Last one.
She's struggling.
Stop.
Saliba. Varane.
He's
like six. I also think that.
I like it.
Who's that guy at Tottenham?
Not Romero.
Romero.
The same Romero. Did you see him on, was it Wednesday night? That Romero.
They lost two.
But I mean, we didn't judge Martinez for conceding four at Brentford, so Romero deserves the same courtesy.
But I don't think Romero's been good like in the last couple of games, to be fair.
And maybe even Eric Dier.
I said maybe.
I
picked five.
You knew to do that maybe on top of it.
I said maybe. Testing the water with that one.
Okay, so Gal, which centre backs on that list have your disapproval?
Okay, let's go.
What do you mean disapproval?
So you were not having Ruben Diaz.
I'm not having Ruben Diaz.
Do you think Varane's a better centre back than Martinez?
I think with Varane and Martinez, they're very good at very different things. So, like, dominating, obviously, Varane's taller, so dominating his box and headers and stuff, I think Varane's a lot better. But Martinez is much better on the ball. Like, he can progress with the ball. He's almost like a midfielder, the way he plays on the ball. So I think I'd prefer Martinez, and he's more reliable than Varane as well.
You prefer Martinez to Varane?
At the moment, yeah. He's much more reliable than Varane.
Statement.
Crazy.
I didn't say he was any better. I just
put the medals on the table. World Cup. Champions League.
But you guys were calling him Europa League Varane at the beginning of the season.
I mean, he's Europa League Varane.
At the moment.
That's actual facts.
What was the other one? Dier, I'm not having. Romero, Dier and Diaz, I'm not having. So, those three.
Dier, I feel like she said for comedy effect. Like, yeah. Let's
forget that one, yeah.
Why don't we leave it to our listeners to tell us whether or not they think Lisandro Martinez is a top five performing Premier League centre-back. And on that note, another thing to touch upon the Chelsea game. The penalty that Scott McTominay conceded. Philippa, is that a penalty for you?
Do you know what? This season, they start to be given. So, I think it's going to have to be a pen. Again, I'm going to have to read up that rule book. But I think it's a pen. We've seen them given and we've seen them not. So.
It was sloppy though from McTominay.
Do you guys think, though, it's about time that tackles like that in the box, that defenders and people that are defending in the corner box, they've been getting away with. We've seen Maguire do it countless amount of times. We've seen McTominay do it countless amount of times. Defenders get away with dragging their opposition to the floor. It's about time that the referee started punishing them.
Do you know why it is a penalty?
Go on.
And Man United fans are not gonna like it. It is a penalty because if he doesn't drag him down, he has a good chance of heading the ball. He drags him down and then McTominay heads the ball. That's why it's a penalty. And it's not, the ball is nowhere close. He's not even looking at the ball. It's only when Broja is on the floor that he has an opportunity to head the ball. And that's why it's a stonewall penalty. And I can't even believe we're discussing, even debating it.
I don't think people's arguments are if whether or not it's a penalty. I just think it's people's arguments are there's no consistency. Like, we've never, like, we don't often see them being given. I don't think people are saying it's not a pen.
Yeah, I don't think there was an issue with that.
But, Tima, based on the point you made, do you think on a more consistent basis, whether or not the recipient is going to be the one to attack the ball, tackles like that in the box should always be given as a penalty?
Yeah, because why are you dragging people down?
Yeah.
Like,
makes no sense.
The ball is at either corner. Why are you looking at your man like you're falling in love? Like, like you need to be, your eyes need to be, like, you know what I mean? Like, in position. I don't mind it if it's in position and then you're jostling. But to literally wrestle someone to the ball.
Especially with two hands.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've seen like it's gone against us and for us in this season alone. In like what? We've played 10 games. So it's a pen.
Anyone think it's not a pen?
No.
Wow, the panel's in agreement for the first time ever. This is a gold digger's miracle.
Don't get used to it.
Okay then. Another pressing issue. It was a Lampard issue. It was a Tuchel issue. Mm. And now is a Graham Potter's issue.
Just wondering what you're going to say.
Chelsea's attack. What is causing the root of the problem? You've been through Tammy Abraham, Lukaku and now Aubameyang. you've added Raheem Sterling to help alongside Hakim Ziyech and Christian Pulisic. You've still got Kai Havertz in there. I think Mason Mount was played out wide yesterday as well. What is the pressing issue and why can the attack not click?
So people, can I just say that the team selection yesterday, if that was under Tuchel, the tears on the timeline would have been astronomical. If that performance was under Tuchel, the tears on the timeline would have been astronomical. If the attack was under Tuchel, the tears on the timeline would be astronomical. Because we got my man Graham, his name's Graham, and, his
you still have beef with his name?
Listen, that's something I'll never get over. My man Graham, like, people want to give him a blight, like, trust the process. As I said last week on the pod, these are the same players under all of these different managers. Mm. But if I talk about it, they'll call me the mad woman.
Speak about it. Speak. It's your platform to speak about it.
Please. These players have let down so many managers time and time again. What I will say, though, is Graham Potter needs time to build his own team. It's quite clear... Hybrid. It's quite clear some of these players are not going to be there. Like, Aubameyang is not going to be there, is he? Like, he's not a Graham Potter signing. Sterling needs to, for the amount of money we paid, for the amount of wages he's picking up, it's interesting. My guy was crying last season at Man City, and now he's become the main man. He was crying that he wasn't the main man. Now he is the main man. Interesting.
World class, yeah.
His performances have been interesting recently. Very interesting.
Do you think Sterling's form is down to where he's being played? Sort of like he's never really been a second striker. Should he be deployed there?
Graham Potter, the way he's treated, although his performances have been interesting, he's been forced to do right wing back, left wing back, striker, second striker. Just play the man in his position and let him cook. I don't understand. Like, the fact that we're putting Sterling at wing back pains me. But what I will say is when he is played in the attacking line, and wherever he is played in the attacking line, he needs to do better. Like, he needs to convert his chances. I'm not going to go as far as Faye and call him the Black Pulisic, but he's missing chances. I want him to convert a little bit more than he currently is.
Mm. Okay. Julie, from the outside looking in, what do you think the problem with Chelsea is in their attacking sense?
I don't know. Yesterday was one of the first times I watched them in a long time. And it just looks like they all play by themselves. Like, they're not gelling. There's no attacking forward, like, going forward. There's just literally nothing there. But yeah, like you said, I don't know if there's a manager, I don't know what it is, but like Tima said, all the players that have played under how many managers had let them down. So, yeah, they just need to find what works for them, which I don't know if it's ever going
to
work.
There's no time for that, though, to find out.
Mm. No, there's no time. And some of them just need to pack up their bags, say goodbye to Cobham, and be on the next plane out of this country.
Which ones?
Ziyech.
Oh!
Yeah.
That was on your tongue, wasn't it?
I knew that was coming.
It's been on... This guy
breathe.
Always comes out, like, when he's on the pitch, stinking up the place, stinking like a sewer. Every time he comes off the pitch, my guy is fresh, like, is so annoyed. Who are you annoyed at, bruh? Like, seriously, who are you annoyed at?
You can't be annoyed.
Stinking up the place, man. Get out.
Next one.
This is a team of intervention.
I know.
Yeah. It's all right, man. We're here for you, man.
This one... My guys across the pond are coming for me, but Pulisic needs to go as well.
Oh, no.
He needs to go for his sake and Chelsea's sake. It hasn't worked out. You're not the guy that you think you are. He's not the LeBron James of soccer.
Speak it.
Yeah. And every time, his fans will say that Chelsea fans in this country have got an agenda, and that the English players, they always look at Mason Mount, compare him to Mason Mount. Mason Mount performs.
Yeah.
My guy performs, like, he's up and down, but he's consistently performing in the same seasons that you've been at Chelsea. So, what's your problem?
Has he had any real consistency, though,
yeah,
starting?
I think Pulisic needs another pandemic. Because after the during the pandemic, he was cooking.
The behind closed doors.
Yeah. When the crowd's not there, no pressure. He was cooking that season under Lampard's tail end, and then Tuchel. He was cooking. but he hasn't done anything of significance since. But his fans are always crying. Mm.
So what's the solution in terms of the formation for Chelsea to get the best out of the attackers?
I've always been a fan of 4-3-3. I don't know about five at the back. Obviously, we built a squad to kind of play that way. But particularly when you can't rely on Reece James because he is injury prone. And it's not an agenda, like, this is factual. Yeah. He is injury prone. You've got to play four at the back because you don't have the attacking threat down that right side, which we rely on so heavily. So you've got to go four at the back. 4-3-3. Keep it moving.
Okay. And let's, again, double back onto Manchester United. You guys were guilty of wasting a lot of chances at Stamford Bridge. Rashford going through twice, not scoring. A shocking forward performance from Sancho once again.
Is he on the pitch?
Joyce, what do you think United's problems are?
I feel like with Sancho, I don't know, it's just, we've said it countless times on a podcast, like, he is a talented player. For some reason, it's like he's scared to just take chances, he's scared to, like, attack, he's scared to, like, just go for it. With Rashford, yeah, it's just the finishing. He's not clinical enough. I'm not sure why he's not really going for it. I don't know.
He's not a striker, though. We can't, like, the only reason Rashford is playing up front is because Martial doesn't want to be fit. And no, I love Martial.
Why is Martial catching strays?
Martial don't want to be fit, and the 38-year-old is sulking. So Rashford has to play up front. And the only reason Sancho is even starting, like, Sancho would be on the bench, Rashford would be on the left, but Sancho has to play because of the other two. So it's not... So Rashford, we can't really blame him when that's not really his position.
No one's blaming him, but you just want him to just...
Meanwhile,
finish.
The guy on the left.
Mm.
Yeah.
What about the guy on the left?
What episode was it when Mina said that Sancho was better than... Who did she say who's better?
Saka and Mount. No, Sterling and Mount. She said he starts over Mason Mount.
On behalf of United fans, including me, I apologise because no. Oh my God, I don't know what... It's just like he plays within himself. Like, I don't know what you're saying, but like, it's like there's a lack of faith in his own ability. It's very strange because even in the Spurs game, everyone was great. Everyone was like 7 or 8 out of 10, apart from Sancho. So I need Martial to come back fit. Please, Martial, get fit. So then Sancho can go on the bench because I'm really tired of his performances.
Do you think the game's too fast for him in this country? Just curious.
It's a good question.
No, I'm just trying to think.
It's a valid question.
I don't think the Bundesliga is slow. Like, there's a lot of like transitions. That's what like Dortmund were doing well.
Yeah,
so
of course.
I don't think
it's just a different ball game. It's definitely more high impact.
It is, and in the Premier League, you have to take on your fullback. You can't have this. Like, even Anthony will try to, but Sancho is hesitant. It's like he doesn't have faith that he'll beat the fullback, so he plays within himself. And him and Shaw don't really have a very good connection. I don't know what's going on there. So,
and that's the thing. I feel like if other players can see that you're not confident in yourself,
yeah,
they will take advantage of that. And it was clearly evident on Wednesday's matches why Ten Hag took him off, like, not long after the second half began.
Mm. But it still shouldn't excuse, like, Rashford and Anthony should have finished those chances they had in the first half. But
it's glaringly obvious that Manchester United are missing a striker.
Yes.
And they do have one who was excluded from the weekend's game by his manager for walking out. Mm. This is a question I'm going to go to Philippa first. How unprofessional was Ronaldo's conduct in midweek?
What if he needs to go to the toilet?
Stop.
Right.
No. I'm joking. No. I'm joking. That. It was extremely unprofessional. Yeah. And you're a big man. You should know better. And the thing about Ronaldo that kills me is that optics are everything to the guy. You know what I mean? He's all about image. He's image gang. So you know what that's going to look like. And you know what's coming. But funnily enough, he threw his toys at the pram. Like, did his, like, I'm sorry apology tour on Instagram.
He didn't say sorry. He did his half apology on Instagram.
And then turned up at Carrington with the under-21s early, might I add. Because, again, he's all about optics. Mm. The guy is, I don't know, this is nonsense. For me, it's just sort of like, he never should have gone back to United. I will sit on that part of the fence all the time.
Let me play devil's advocate.
There is no devil's advocate.
Hold on.
No, we're not devil's advocate. We're the angels.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Like that. Yeah, you know what I mean? That's your name. Yeah, but I think the flip side of it, people see it as passionate. I'm not agreeing with this. It's passionate. I feel like, did you guys think he deserved to play in that match, in Tottenham match, or deserved to come that late?
No. What really was like really sad about that whole moment, yeah, is not even the what the fans think and what, like, disrespecting the fans or disrespecting. What was really disrespectful was, like, you don't, like, your players, your teammates just did the best performance of the season.
Yeah.
And you didn't want to go celebrate with them. You didn't want to, like, make the storyline, like, the headlines about them. Instead of speaking about how good our performance against the Spurs, we're talking about Ronaldo sulking. And all his little media friends are coming out, Rio, all of them doing that. But, you know, you shouldn't make Ronaldo warm up multiple times. I've never seen a time where we count warm-ups. Like, I've never heard of that. Have you ever heard that that player's warmed up three times?
Also, why not make him warm up? Keep warm. Manchester's cold this time of year. Like, what are you doing? I don't understand. It's just...
Do you think...
And this... Yeah, go on.
Do you think Ronaldo sees the future in terms of Manchester United and he's thinking, nah, I don't want to finish fifth. I want to get out.
No, but do you know what's silly? I see what you're saying. If they were playing like they were playing back end of last season.
There
but
you
they're
go.
Playing much better.
Exactly.
And the problem
like
is,
Wednesday was
is
good.
My man's ego is not, like, cannot cope with the fact that they're playing much better and he's not involved. It's not
exactly.
because of him.
Because let's be real, like, when he's not playing, like, it's moving quite fast.
Last season, he was happy. Even though we failed last season, he was happy because he came away with his 18, 19, 20 goals. He's like, I did my part. But this season, what he sees is, he sees United's future, and United's future is without Ronaldo, and it's a good future under Ten Hag. So I think what he's seen is that...
I never said that.
These players are performing without me. They're performing well without me. And I think he can take that.
I think another one note for the record. The last player to do this under Ten Hag was dropped.
Yes.
Performed with the under 23s or under 21s. And banished from the squad. Like, as in banished, sold.
Oh, damn.
Yes, he'll probably be.
So Ronaldo will probably be. But on the way
you could afford him.
Todd Bowie, come back. Get the checkbook out.
Do you think Ten Hag did the right thing?
100%, because I think Ten Hag dealt with it so well. Like, other managers in the past would have made it about him, made the story about him, but he just said, I'll deal with him tomorrow, and kept him moving. And I think Ten Hag dealt with it really well.
Okay, just a quick score update, a live update. Tottenham are currently 2-1 down to Newcastle United at the Lane. So is it going to be a thing where all top six clubs drop points apart from Manchester City this week? They're the only 3-point collectors so far. But let's move on to another team who are currently top of the league. Julie, my first question to you. Gabriel Jesus and Arsenal, does he offer the football club enough goals to take them where they need to be?
I think he started off really, really well. For the last few games, though, he hasn't been the greatest, especially today's game. He missed a lot of chances, which we potentially could have won the game. But yeah, just don't know. The last probably 2-3 games, he hasn't looked his best, but it's only 11 games. So for anyone calling him out or whatever at this time, it's a bit... too early, I think. But I think for the future, he's fine where he is.
Joyce, do you agree or disagree?
I agree to an extent. I just feel like we've seen it before at Man City where he just didn't finish. And I feel like it's now crucial just to be more clinical and just to execute regardless. And yeah, he just didn't perform as he should today. He should have, pardon me. Other players that perform, I think Odegaard really provided a lot of chances in the second half, but like I said, I think there was a big letdown from Jesus.
This is very interesting, Arsenal fans, because wasn't you guys at the beginning of the season, Jesus this, Jesus that? I thought he was
the
second coming.
Who's you guys?
I thought, you know, we had our rapture and...
Who's you guys?
I thought, you know, God's going to come take
his
children.
I've literally just said that he's been...
Yeah.
I think a lot of Arsenal like, fans were slightly like skeptical because I think a lot of them were very much of the understanding that he was going to come out the gate with a big fuck you to Man City.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
I think a lot of Arsenal fans, but to the question, do I think as an outsider looking in that he's good enough for you lot to take you where you need to be? I don't particularly think so.
But also you got
I think he's a good striker, and I think like. I just don't think he'll offer you guys as many goals as I think you need.
Mm-hmm.
I still think you're probably going to get top four, but like I just think that you need that marquee striker again. I don't think he's going to be that guy.
I thought they're title challengers.
According to Faye.
According to Faye.
Come on, Arsenal fans. You said you were getting late.
Roll the tapes. Roll the tapes.
Yeah. Oh, you said, why can't we? Why can't we challenge?
Does that mean that I said we're going to go for a title charge?
No, you said.
I said, why can't we? Because you tried to draw for me when I wasn't here. Did I say, yes, we're going to get a title charge?
Why can't we sort of put in your hat in the ring?
Without like really putting your hat in the ring.
Because people like you might look at you. I'm not nervous, right? I'm cool. I'm not sure.
No, please be non-committal. I think if you feel it with your chest, like obviously you guys had a physical reaction to me saying that I don't think that Jesus is that striker for you. So, like, if you
disagree, to be honest.
I disagree as well.
I think he's the striker that Arsenal needs right now. It depends where you want to go.
Tima, do you think Arsenal will need to go back into the window in the near future to get another striker?
It depends what you want to do and where your ambitions lie. If your ambitions are for top four currently, then he is that striker. If your ambitions in 10 years' time to challenge for the Champions League, then of course he's not going to be that guy. But I think for where you are right now, he's perfect.
So in your opinion, Gabriel Jesus is a striker good enough to get Arsenal top four?
Yes.
Philippa, do you agree with that?
Top four, yeah.
Anyone disagree with that?
Do you disagree?
Yes.
You think he's not good enough?
No.
You think he's good enough for the title?
With Jesus?
But that's what I'm trying to say. Like, I feel like Arsenal fans do have the urging. I think they have the understanding that top four is the proper goal. And then there's urging to go further than that. And I'm saying, if you want to go further than that, then Jesus isn't that guy.
That's what I'm saying.
That's where I sit. And you do you agree with
me? I still think Arsenal falls short on the goal side. Mm. And right now, Arsenal and other Premier League clubs, I think Chelsea, United, given the way things are going, we're all benefiting from Liverpool being that bad.
Got it. I agree.
Yeah. Why did you put Arsenal in there? You're top of the league.
Because we're just there for now.
She's talking about the goal difference.
Like, and we all drop points.
With everyone else's, City are way ahead and they're sitting second.
But we're losing out because we'll be realistic. That's Haaland tax. We can't really take that.
I don't think we can tax it. He's here. You're saying they
went into the window and they picked up a striker like Haaland because they needed a striker like Haaland. So we can't say Haaland tax because, you know, even in seasons where they didn't have a proper out-and-out striker, City always had a cushy goal difference.
The reality is there's not many Haalands out there. So you kind of like... Mm. I don't think Jesus is the issue. I just think Arsenal need a fourth attacker. So they have some type of rotation with Martinelli and Saka. So some of the loads
up there. Speaking of attackers then, last summer, Arsenal rewarded Eddie Nketiah with a new contract. Do you feel like...
Sorry.
Okay, Julia, I'll ask you this question.
Please. I want to hear it from you.
Do you feel like Eddie is a good second choice for Arsenal? Or do you think we should have just cut our ties, let him go and got someone else?
I think we should have cut our ties. Just because he wasn't offering enough yet. Everyone can talk about his last few games at the end of the season, but that just wasn't enough. And you can't keep being that person to just come on and just about nick it every season, which he actually has been doing. And sorry, it's not good enough. Like, we need someone better. Yeah. And then to give him number 14 and then a big fat wage, it's like, whoa, okay.
It's that curse, isn't it?
What did you say, Joyce?
The curse when you get like a big wage. Like, you don't kind of live up to it.
I think Eddie Nketiah is currently on £80,000 a week at Arsenal. 100K including bonuses. Yeah. So up to 100K, but his basic wage is £80,000. A week.
Is that a lot for a top six side?
It's a lot for Eddie Nketiah. Oh. It is.
Okay, let me
ask. I like the guy, but I just... Yeah, but I just don't.
Let me ask the girls that don't support Arsenal then. If Chelsea are playing Arsenal, West Ham are playing Arsenal, or United are playing Arsenal, as opposition fans, if Jesus isn't causing you problems and you look to the sideline and you see Eddie Nketiah coming on, does that fill you with any fear whatsoever?
I can't answer this question because
my team don't play properly against Arsenal. So I can't answer this question. Does it fill me with fear personally? No, but them bozos in the pitch will disgrace me. So I can't give you a proper answer. I really can't.
Tima?
If I speak, everyone will be like, but what did Eddie Nketiah do to Chelsea last
season? Give us your audience opinion. Yeah, Malang Sarr, let's put it down to that.
Malang definitely. Biggest bozo in world football, Malan Sarr. No, he doesn't. And I said last season, I don't understand why Arsenal were giving him a 5-year deal and number 14. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it because what other top six team would do that for Eddie Nketiah? For me, he screams Crystal Palace to me.
Like Crystal Palace, West Ham, we should have sold him to Philippa when we had the chance.
We should have.
We didn't want him. You did. Not seriously.
Oh, okay.
We were more for Rojas than we were for Eddie Nketiah. I'll be, no, deadly honest. Like, I think they were sniffing around, but then they dropped it pretty quickly.
They didn't have a replacement, though. They didn't have anyone they could buy, so they thought, it's just...
Eddie Nketiah's not good enough.
So, let's go through this then. Top six strike partners. Arsenal, Jesus, Eddie, Chelsea, Broja, Aubameyang, Man United, Martial, Ronaldo.
Oh, not Ronaldo. Rashford.
Okay, so Martial, Rashford, yeah. Man City, Alvarez, Haaland, and then Liverpool.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We'll go Nunes, Firmino. Rank them.
Oh, rank them. Oh.
Well, then you've got to put the City one.
So, yeah, City first.
Yeah, City first.
Even though Alvarez
Haaland on his own.
Yeah, I was going to say,
Alvarez don't feature that much. Why did you even pair him? Like, pair him separately.
He's got his boy on his back.
And then what do we think second to sixth will be?
Oh, that's hard.
Mm.
Oh,
sorry,
Sorry. Son's not a striker. It'll be Kane and Richarlison.
Yeah. Okay, I'm taking Kane and Richarlison second.
Kane and Richarlison second.
And that's because of Kane, let's be real.
Who did you say Arsenal again? You said Jesus.
It will be Jesus and Eddie. We're talking about the actual strikers.
Yeah.
Strikers, and we're not doing it on form. It's just like them as a pair.
Yeah, just them.
Okay.
Oh, cool. So first City, second Spurs.
Yeah,
so
second
who
Spurs.
Was Man United?
Rashford
and Martial.
That's third.
Really? Okay.
They're the ones on paper, definitely.
Maybe the paper's broken.
Oh dear.
Wait, I'm sorry.
Wait.
Personally, I don't
rate Martial.
I ain't got a dog in this fight. I'm just sitting here in my mid-table with
your Premier League goals. They have like over 60, 70 Premier League goals
Martial
and Rashford, yeah.
Each.
They have over 50 Premier League goals, definitely.
Each.
Yeah.
Martial.
Yeah,
he's played like
17
games.
Okay, so let's just go with the group. So he said
what?
Haaland and Alvarez, and then Kane and Son, yes. And then we've gone with Rashford and Martial.
Man United.
That leaves Jesus, Eddie, Aubameyang, Broja, and then Nunes and Bobby Firmino.
I'm taking Nunes and Firmino next.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Bobby Firmino.
This is ridiculous.
To be honest with you,
I'm only saying that to be annoying. Like, I probably would.
Actually, to be fair, Firmino doesn't score that.
Yeah, so I'm saying I'm being annoying. So I probably would put
Arsenal above.
No. Chelsea, then Arsenal, then Liverpool.
No.
What about Aubameyang?
Broja is good though.
So Arsenal and then Chelsea and then Liverpool.
I think Chelsea are bottom.
Yeah. Well, I think Broja's got a big ceiling though. That's the only thing I would say. Yeah. He's very Costa-esque. Is what I would say.
I like him at Southampton.
I think in the future that could change.
Okay, so the final list, we've gone with City, Spurs, United, Arsenal, Liverpool, Chelsea. Okay, let's see what they make of that one. In the Arsenal game again, Southampton, should they have had a red card?
Yeah. Yes.
For which foul? There was a punch. There was there was a punch. I mean, there was a pullback in the box on Jesus. Yeah, there was an elbow.
I saw the second half stuff. I think the strangling thing.
Eddie, isn't it?
Yeah.
Premier League is becoming WWE. Yeah.
Questionable decision.
And I don't know how that's not a red card.
So, red card?
Oh, yeah. I think it's the unanimous.
Another week, another poor refereeing decision. Nothing new.
It was questionable decisions this match, but yeah, we move in it.
And then just on the Southampton-Arsenal game again, two things to discuss quickly. Was Arteta at fault for anything that happened today? And is this Arsenal squad good enough to sustain a Premier League title challenge? Timo, why don't you answer first?
Not the heart and the brain guy.
Who's the heart? Arteta.
Oh, so the heart and the head. Oh, I can't remember what he said.
Yeah, it's the heart and the head.
Yeah, I don't even
think
it.
I just think the truth is, you guys have had a lot of games and you're not always going to win. But if obviously if the finishing was better, Arsenal would have won that game. And with ease, are Arsenal going to sustain the title challenge? I'm going to let you guys guess what my
She asked you. I answered the question.
No.
Did you get it? Like, you're
asking. Like, we went all around the houses to come to the very obvious
Absolutely
answer.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I think that's more to do with City, though, than Arsenal.
I think it's to do with both of them.
I think it's to do with our rotation.
Correct.
Yeah. You don't have a rotation.
You haven't got depth, that's it.
Maybe in January, they'll go into the market.
We should see about that.
Do you think so? Because think about, like, Arsenal in last January. Like, I just feel like it's not really their... I feel like it's not really your thing at the minute.
Let's say come January, they're in a good position. Like, they're still first or second.
That should motivate him to go.
Got it.
And they're still not going to be... And it's still not going to be a title challenge. You've got to understand that there's a lot of games after
the World Cup.
But even before, you have the League Cup kicks in, was it, in a couple of weeks' time?
Mm. Yeah, we got Brighton. You guys got City.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of games.
Do you think Arsenal will be top of the table come the World Cup?
World Cup's in
2 weeks.
That's
a very good question.
Because I don't think they beat Chelsea.
Okay. Is that the bridge or Emirates?
Is that the bridge?
I don't think you beat us.
No problem.
Okay.
See you
in a couple of weeks.
See ya.
See you next week.
But, you know.
But I think this season's going to end up funny. I think that top four is going to look very strange in the course of the season after the World Cup.
I think the World Cup is going to ruin everything.
It's going to be like, remember like the Leicester season where it was just in flux constantly.
Yeah. Mm. To be fair, I think City have the least amount of players going to the World Cup anyway. So
That's why I said top four.
The rest of the
group. Listen, Gold Diggers has already resigned as a club, a collective and a union that is going to be a City title. Like, nobody's arguing with that, are we?
No.
Okay.
But the thing is, it's not going to be close either. They're going to win it by 10 points.
Okay. And they're going to tie Manchester United for the three-peat title if Manchester City do win this league title. Oh. So that's another record that your noisy neighbours have snatched.
Not noisy neighbours.
Another year without Arsenal without a title, so it's
That's all right. We're both in the same boat.
Do you get it?
We're not in the same boat.
Pals.
How long is it since Arsenal won the last thing? 20 years.
Twenty years. Yeah.
Then actually, I might have been just about, but still.
Wow. Okay, let's move on. Let's move on. The City Ground, the lunchtime kickoff on a Saturday. Liverpool 1-0 defeat to Nottingham Forest. Do we think that the City Ground is going to be similar to what was then the Community Stadium, where it's not a happy hunting ground for top six clubs?
I just think it's Liverpool.
Yeah.
It was just typical Liverpool.
And the worst bit was, like, they won by 1-0, but they should have won by more. They had a few chances. Mm-hmm. Morgan Gibbs-White had a chance. The midfielder, what's his name, Yates, he had a chance. In the end, they had there was several chances that they should have scored. So the 1-0 is even looking good for Liverpool. Apart from Van Dijk, I don't think any of the other Liverpool players had any chances. I saw a crazy statistic about how many touches Salah had, and it was like,
six.
Yeah, it was something ridiculous like that.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
Every time Salah is mentioned, we shout out to Bree.
But they were playing him in a central position. It was really strange. Like, usually he plays off, like, off the wing and like cuts in, but he was in the middle and he was just getting no service. I kind of felt bad for him. I'm not gonna lie.
Can we talk about Liverpool youngsters not being overhyped?
Elliot?
Way overhyped.
Elliot.
I think Harvey Elliott's quite good, I can't lie.
He's all right.
Oh.
Jones is
in comparison to other youngsters in the top six,
Curtis Jones, is he even a youngster anymore?
Curtis Jones barely plays these days, right?
No, he just got back from injury.
Yeah, oh, I haven't seen much of him, so I'm not going to say too much about him. First. Harvey Elliott is one where I actually think he's going to be good. But I don't think people hype him as much, to be fair.
I think they do. Yeah.
They do.
Who speaks about Liverpool's youngsters?
Liverpool fans.
They back their boys
all the time.
They had a lot of injuries yesterday.
I agree. Elliot Within Time, I think, would definitely be.
Yeah, Within Time. Of course. I see that.
But, Sigal, would you say, even without the injuries, that Liverpool should have beaten Nottingham Forest?
It's true, but without Thiago, and even though we all come for Alexander-Arnold, without Thiago and Alexander and Trent, they're a very different team. They're really, like, Gomez isn't that good. Their midfield was, like, strange. No, I think they're definitely suffering with the injuries. And they have no, what's his name? No Jota, no Diaz.
This is where agreed. They're like they've got lots of injuries. But when I looked, when I watched that game versus the game that we lost to Nottingham Forest 1-0, we had miles more chances.
Yeah.
We hit the post, like hit the crossbar so many times. We had a goal disallowed for nonsense. Yeah. Like we were actually in the game. Liverpool.
There's no excuse to lose.
Yeah, and it's like Nottingham Forest were bottom. Yesterday, like, come on, literally. Just humbled City, and then you do this. Like, I can't give them. There's no consistency.
Isn't it?
Really. It's just sorry,
there's no consistency with Liverpool
at all.
Mm-mm.
Beautiful.
Do you think it's top four for them? Still top four?
Oh, that's difficult.
I don't know. I pray Bree gets her candles out and lights them against Liverpool finishing the top four. Not just Bree, the other Brianna.
Yep.
Oh,
Brianna, get those candles out because we need Liverpool in the Europa League. I need to see that.
To be fair, speaking of the Europa League, if Liverpool do lose in Amsterdam this midweek, Napoli can ensure them a Europa League place if they do beat them at Anfield.
Are you serious?
Their group is that tight.
Has Ajax even won a game?
Yeah, Liverpool
are through. Yeah. I think they're going
to
beat them.
They go to Amsterdam, you never know, without Thiago, without Trent, without all these no
news. You're saying all of that about not being able to beat Forest, then...
Yes.
Have you seen Ajax?
Ajax are not looking good this season, it's true.
Really took everything from them. Bless them.
Oh, wow.
Are you proud of that?
She gave it, like,
me and my Karen Hugo voice, she's proud of that.
She said, bless them.
Like Tima said, one episode, get your money up, innit? I even want Edwin van der Sar.
Right. A manager that we need to have a conversation about. Jurgen Klopp and his time in the Premier League. He has been often praised for making turning water into wine. What he's done with this Liverpool squad, is it about time that it's now criticised instead of praised, given the way they're performing? He's been here for 7 years. One Premier League title, one Champions League, one FA Cup and one Carabao Cup. For the money invested and the quality of players that they have, arguably all in their prime, should Liverpool have seen more success under Klopp?
Yes. I'm going to say it.
And why?
Because people said that they literally said they were the best team in the world. Liverpool, so back to back teams, Champions League, literally.
Best right back, best
everything.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like we are not worthy of this team. Yet they've only won 4 trophies, 1 league title, 7 years.
And you've got to remember, before Klopp, like Liverpool in the wilderness for a very, very long time.
They're making their way back.
Exactly, by themselves.
But let's actually talk about it, Klopp. Is his time at Liverpool up? Does he need to move on? If we're looking at some of the players, for example, Fabinho should be in his prime. He looks like he can't kick football anymore. He's not even 30 yet.
I didn't even realise.
we need to, no anyone.
No,
I think Klopp needs to drag them down a little bit more. I need them about mid table, then he can go.
You're horrible.
He's not quite there yet. Give him. I want to see like March. Give him give me 10th at March.
And you're good. All
right. And actually maybe keep them another season because people will think, oh, it's only a fluke.
No, I don't think.
I need another season of them being mid-table. Then he can pack his bags and leave. But until that point, my guy can stay.
No, I don't think he's got a long left, you know. if he keeps doing what he's doing.
They're not going to fire him, but the money he spent, he should be. They technically should be doing better.
Exactly.
But Liverpool fans will always argue that they had to do like a full rebuild. So I feel like the people up there are not too dissatisfied. You know what I mean? Mm. We're all looking at it objectively, being like, you should be doing better. Yeah, but I think they're not dissatisfied, so I don't think he's going just yet.
It's looking a bit like...
If we do look at Liverpool, Klopp did increase their value by 2.1 billion in terms of a club. So if you're FSG looking at it, when you bought the club, it was worth this. The increase in value is now at an extra 2.1 billion. I think Liverpool are worth over 3 billion now. Surely one bad season is not going to see them...
When Van Dijk was injured, that was an awful season.
But they still finish in the top four, though.
Okay.
Despite all odds. So I think unless, even if they finish at the top four, they're not sacking Klopp.
They're not. I think their investment in recent seasons has been a bit questionable. I'm looking at them sideways. Because they're not really investing it. Why have they not gone and got midfielder? Someone tell me.
Apparently they have not bought a central midfielder in years, apart from Thiago.
And Naby Keita.
And they're both like, they've historically injury prone.
So
in terms of managers in the Premier League era, Liverpool fans would argue that Klopp is in and about there. Does he make the top five?
Top five?
No, actually no.
Not for me.
Breathe.
He doesn't make the top five. I said breathe.
I'm not throwing you guys a life jacket.
Philippa, he doesn't make the top five. Give me your top five Premier League managers.
I said it and I was just like, I'm going to have to back it up. So obviously you've got like Wenger, because he completely changed the way that footballers operate. In total, you've got Sir Alex Ferguson. Obviously, they said they couldn't do it with kids. He did do it with kids, and he did it consistently. You've got the likes of Pep. You've got the likes of Mourinho.
Yep.
So then it's number five.
Is it a battle between Klopp and Conte?
I respect Conte as a manager, but I'm not going to have him in the top five because, you know...
He's an enemy of football.
I'm going to sit from an achievement point of view...
Domestically, right? Conte's won a Premier League.
Premier League, how many times?
Once.
How many cups? Domestic cups. How many European cups?
One FA Cup.
One FA Cup. How many European cups?
That's what I'm excluding Europe.
Yeah. No, okay. All right. So my point is in that, in terms of like a manager with like a well-rounded manager, I don't think he deserves to be there.
I suppose the only thing I would say about Conte is everyone knows how I feel about him.
Mm.
He did break records in that season that Chelsea won the league title. Did we win like 32 games?
But you man weren't doing anything else but playing Premier League, no?
No, but what I'm saying is that he broke records. Did Klopp break any
Klopp
records?
Klopp has broke records.
Yeah, he was the fastest team to win the Premier League title.
That's
the record under Liverpool.
Like an Anfield record. Like they
he got the old Jose record at Anfield. They're like 4 years undefeated.
Didn't quite make Jose's record, though, did
they? Okay.
Didn't quite.
So then Klopp and Conte is not a conversation for you guys?
Well, I was saying Conte isn't, but then like I said, after I said it and I thought, actually, now I have to think about who's top five, Klopp obviously is in the conversation.
Oh, a manager that we might have disrespected, Carlo Ancelotti.
My guy Carlo, man.
What do we think? Does he make top five ahead of Klopp, or is Klopp ahead of him?
Klopp's ahead of Ancelotti, come on.
So that Chelsea title-winning team in 11 was...
That was serious. That was serious. That's not to worry.
He did a double and he actually finished second as well. And then got sacked in the final.
Hey, your people don't respect nobody.
But these men are just too harsh.
My guy hadn't even had a shower.
I don't think he left the tunnel yet.
He got the Gerrard treatment, going back on the team bus, knowing that you don't have a job when you get back to.
There you go. Slice a pizza off the game.
Imagine.
The problem with Chelsea managers, they don't stay long enough for them to become like Premier League like legends.
Yeah, you're right.
But to be fair, at Everton, he didn't do much, did he?
He was doing better.
He was waiting. They were warming. They were keeping his Real Madrid seat warm,
Benitez.
Man.
He's not got a title.
He didn't win a title.
Sorry.
Because I just think, if we look at it in context, right, we're talking Antonio Conte, you look at the Chelsea side. You look at Carlo Ancelotti's 2011 Chelsea side, and you compare that to what Klopp eventually built at Liverpool, and you weigh up their achievements. Is Klopp one... You've done what you were supposed to do with the amount of money that you invested and spent, compared to that 2017 Conte team.
But I suppose people would argue, did all of these managers have Man City to really compete?
Exactly.
But
good point.
But I think, but then there's always going to be an argument like that. Yeah, because Manchester United were that team back then. They weren't that team, but they were a big team.
The ones.
And they were very, very successful. I think Klopp should have done better, in my opinion. I think he should have had at least two league titles. The title that City won by 1 point, I think Liverpool should have...
Last season, yeah.
The first 1 point or the second 1 point?
The first one.
A little birdie on Twitter told me a famous quote that Liverpool don't win two horse title races, and I think if we look back at their time, they've never gone neck and neck and won. They've always competed. You look at when Chelsea United were competing, the titles went either way. Arsenal United, the title went either way. This one, 7 years, one trophy for Conte, one for Klopp. The rest have gone to Joseph Guardiola. So what really did you build to compete for?
Ooh, girl.
What I'm saying is I can't. There's no life jackets over here. They're comfy. I'm just going to be like, I was just here.
But you understand where I was coming from was like trying to figure out whether Pep was going to be in the top five, right? Like there was a question.
I think there's an argument that Guardiola has even surpassed Sir Alex, but we can talk about that another time.
No, we're not.
You guys can say no. I'll tell you right now. Listen, first of all, Pep's my GOAT. That's number one. Number two, he's 10 trophies behind Sir Alex.
Yeah,
with 13 years less experience under his belt. But 10 trophies.
And that's still 10 trophies.
He will make it.
Okay.
By the time he retires...
I think he's going to stay long enough, let's be real. I don't think...
But I'm not talking about just that one club. I'm talking about everything in general.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
But he takes easy jobs. Like, okay, I want you to go to... He should have gone to Manchester United or Arsenal.
He should have.
For and what?
Why?
They literally... The whole club, the way they base Man City is around Pep. Yeah. The whole club. Even before he came, they got his Barcelona guys. They got his Barcelona and they literally built the Catalan again.
But surely a manager...
Catalan in Manchester.
Surely a manager or more so a coach like Guardiola only deserves the best.
But Mourinho doesn't do that. And Mourinho's achieved...
And now Mourinho's at Roma.
Okay, we're not talking about this version of Mourinho. But with Mourinho, he took like clubs that weren't historically the best clubs. With what he did with Inter. What he did with Inter is nothing
Chelsea
like
it. Oh, no, wait. I'm so sorry.
Still loving it.
Chelsea in 2004 spent money that the Premier League had never seen before to get Jose those teams, bro. Let's not lie.
Why are you looking at me? She's saying it.
Don't. I was gonna say, I don't know, because the call was coming from outside the house. so keep Tima out of it.
It's what he did at Porto, what he did at Inter.
Yes, I agree.
Chelsea, but the financial dominance that Man City have on this Premier League, you can't compare.
No, but then
I'm also
thinking about.
But Manchester United have spent more money than Man City.
Yeah. But he took also the best team in Germany.
The money. City are a really well run club.
That was the same for United.
I feel like when Manchester City are in the discussion, people use the cop out of City have the most money, that's why no one can compete with them. But when you look at what City do in the market, you look at the most expensive Premier League signings, City have one player in that list.
No, because what City do is City will buy £60 million players and then.
Who? Who have they bought in the 60 million region?
They'll get Cancelo was like 60. What's his name? Bernardo Silva is expensive. What they'll do is they won't buy a £100 million player. They'll be like, Kyle Walker was like, how much?
54.
Sorry, the irony of a Man United.
No, but it's not about United.
For me, it's just too
crazy.
Too sweet.
It's not because United are run shit.
Yeah, but back in the day, and I'm just saying, and I don't know whether it's like an age thing because I'm old. I'm trying to say there's always a team that does this, and at the minute it is City, but back in the late 90s, early 2000s,
it was United. Then it was Chelsea.
Yeah,
and now it's Man City's turn, and now the shoe's on the other foot. Everyone seems to have an issue with it.
All of you men, do it.
I think Arsenal the only club that I can say didn't do it.
Yeah,
we built our success. Yeah.
That's why you have won the title in
20 years. We still have 13 league titles, and Chelsea are tied with Aston Villa. Anyways, let's move on.
How many
European? One.
Put it on the table. Okay, cool. That's nice.
You ready to move on?
Yeah.
It is full time in the Tottenham-Newcastle game. Tottenham did lose 2-1 to Newcastle United.
Oh,
how close are they to pushing the big boys in the Premier League, given the financial power that Newcastle United have?
Newcastle don't have the squad to really...
Yet.
To maintain it. I think they're doing excellent. I think Eddie Howe's done an excellent job. From where this team was, like, literally almost relegated to where they are now, it's an excellent job. But I can't see that maintaining through the season.
But then when you say pushing the big boys, what does that necessarily mean? Does that mean pushing top four? Does that mean pushing for European spots?
I think they're going to push for European spots. Mm-hmm. I can see them in...
With a win, though, Newcastle are currently above Chelsea and Manchester United.
Are they actually?
Yes.
I'm hearing you guys say that. And I'm just saying, like, obviously, I don't expect the league to finish where everything is now.
Yeah, of course.
But I'm saying, for me, Newcastle looked to me, and I know we're saying they don't have the squad for consistency, but they looked to me as a team who will could very comfortably finish seventh.
We have to remember that Newcastle did go to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium today without Bruno Guimaraes, without an injured Alexander Isak, and I think they were missing...
It was at Spurs.
To be fair, Newcastle have played more games than Chelsea.
One game.
But you know what they say, games in hand don't mean points on the board.
We got told that last season. So, exactly.
We were right. Was it not correct? I'm just saying.
But yeah, no, I personally, as someone who obviously has a team that dabbles around those lower spots, I think Newcastle look like they've got it to push them European spaces.
European as in top six?
As in top seven.
I think they can push for fifth or sixth, depending on the inconsistency of the teams around them. I think Newcastle will unless something catastrophic happens up there, up in the north, they will definitely finish in a European place. Whether that's Europa League or Conference League, I don't know. I don't back them for top four as yet. But fifth to seventh, eighth, depending on the teams that win the domestic cups, I back them to finish there.
I think they've got a sold on Conference League spot, personally.
And they'll probably buy someone in January if the Saudis are like really about it.
Let's be fair, they can afford whoever they want.
Exactly.
Let's move on.
Isaac injured.
No, he's also injured. Without St. Maximin, Isak and Bruno Guimaraes, which you can argue two out of the three is very important to Eddie Howe's side.
St. Maximin's like a little bit inconsistent in the squad at the minute anyway.
Bruno's probably the best player outside of the top six.
100%.
He's just Bruno. The other one is Fernandez. This one.
This one is Bruno. No, but I'm saying above like Madison and...
He's better than all of them.
Better than Rice.
Yes,
he's having a better season. Really, he's having a better season than Rice at the minute.
He's better than Declan Rice.
I wouldn't say that. Like full stop. I'm saying.
Apart from Man City, Bruno Guimaraes starts for every top six side. Slots right in. Chelsea, Arsenal, City. Spurs, United, Liverpool. He starts.
Did he reject Arsenal to go to?
No, we didn't pay because we're broke.
Be honest.
Get your money up, man.
Oh, here we go.
Let's move on. One more game tomorrow, Monday Night Football. Philip are given the results today. West Ham are currently in the relegation zone. Bournemouth at the London Stadium.
But do you know, guys, like, I know this sounds dumb, but if we win tomorrow, we're 11th. How stupid does that sound?
It does.
You see what I mean? Like, that is the reality of life in the bottom half at the minute. Like, if we win tomorrow, we're 11th. I think we've got a good opportunity to win. I just don't know who's going to turn up, because looking at like our stats against Liverpool and then looking at our stats for the rest of the season, we play so much better in the last 45 minutes of a game than we do in the first. You cannot be sustainable that way. You have to play the full 90 minutes. So don't know, might be the West Ham that turned up 3 games ago, or it might be the West Ham that turned up midweek. I'm not sure.
But midweek, you were very unlucky. I think it was just a situation of not putting your chances away, no?
Yeah, I agree. But then it's like, saying not putting your chances away doesn't... You have to do that. Like, it's just... We can say that until we go blue in the face, but you can get relegated. And we have too good a squad to be in a position we're at. I don't think we started particularly well, but we have to improve. We've got no choice.
Yeah.
I've seen some West Ham fans questioning Moyes.
Already?
I think a lot of people have very short-term memories when they question Moyes. Yeah. Because it's one of them things where it's like, if you want to be, like... chasing top six aspirations, then I understand why you're upset, but you have to remember that West Ham are not a team that historically finish in the top six very often. So the fact that the last couple of seasons we finished well, we need to, like, first of all, become consistent with that and then improve. Mm. So I think everybody needs to calm down. I'm not going to lie, at the beginning of the season, I was getting really frustrated just because of how well we started last season. Well, I actually said it on the first episode of the pod. That was a fluke. The way we started last season does not happen for us. Mm. So, like, yeah, I think it's just got to be, it's one of them things where the team has to be more consistent and play properly in, like, both halves of the game. But I think fans need to also relax because, yes, while those aspirations above where we finished last season, I don't think that Moyes is particularly that person. We do still need to become consistent in being a top seven side. Mm.
Do you guys think that Bournemouth is the perfect game for Gerard Bowen to reignite some form?
It is the right sort of team to do it. Like, what game was it? Was it Wolves? Where he looked really good. Like, we need to play these sort of sides to regain a bit of confidence. But that's annoying to me because these tend to be the games where we drop points and then we play better against better teams. So, I don't know.
Hmm. Julie, Bournemouth, West Ham prediction?
I think West Ham can win.
2-1.
Segal?
1-1.
More draw.
Yeah.
Joyce?
1-0. West Ham.
Tima?
Bournemouth have been doing decently.
Have they?
Yeah, I think under their new manager, they haven't.
They're hit and miss.
Yes,
yeah, up and down. Hence why I'm thinking this could be West Ham.
2-0 West Ham.
And Philippa?
I think 2-1.
2-1 to West Ham?
Yep. I think you're being kind, sorry.
Of course.
Jesus. Oh, I think you're annoying at all pod. What are you talking about?
It's just being stating facts, man.
Okay, and to round off our last episode for Black History Month, we have got a Black History Month sports quiz. Mm. We are going to have the left side of the couch versus the right side of the couch.
Guys, I'm sorry in advance, yeah? Just let you know.
Don't embarrass your people. And you know what? The winners, the next gold diggers out in drinks. One drink. The economy is a bit tight.
Cost of living. Cost of living.
It's going to be on me.
Champagne then.
Let's play the game first.
So the chest just went high. You didn't even start. Fair enough,
please.
Right, 8 questions. I'll just go by whoever I hear first. Okay. Right.
You have like a buzzer.
Put your hand up.
Okay.
Hand up, yeah.
No, are we just gonna say the answer?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
No, you make your noise. So, what's your noise? Okay, no. So it's a clap.
I want to clap.
No,
pew, 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 pew. Okay. First question. I've played for Arsenal, Chelsea, Real Madrid, and I am currently a youth coach at Lille. Who am I?
Pew, pew.
Yep.
Diarra. Asana Diarra?
No. That question goes back to the team.
I'm not thinking that. Hold on.
Arsenal, Chelsea, and then Madrid.
Real Madrid.
Real Madrid.
This must be someone that's played for ages ago.
Can I answer again?
No. If they get it wrong.
Commonly.
No, I'm trying to think Real Madrid because that's.
Come here.
Arsenal, Chelsea, youth coach. If he's a youth coach, he might have been retired recently.
I'm going to need an answer from you guys.
Bro,
I guess.
Just say an Arsenal, Chelsea player.
I don't know if I'm.
No. A guess, just one guess.
Oh, no!
It's gonna. Like, I'm gonna be
only one Arsenal Chelsea player coming to my head.
Go on! No! Please!
Please sit down.
Go on! Go on!
Who's behind the camera?
Go on! Just one guess, Julie.
Ashley Cole.
Wrong.
Anelka.
Yep, that is 1-0 to the right team. Nicholas Anelka. He's a coach at Lille. Coach. That's what I said. Youth coach. It's very specific.
I didn't know that. I didn't even know.
Okay. To be honest, I could have. When I was doing the research, I saw all the teams he played for. I said, I need to pick up.
Yeah, he's got tons of teams. Tons of teams.
Nicholas
Anelka
was underrated.
He's the. Yeah, he was.
Massively.
Okay. Next question. This should be a very simple one. In what year did Manchester United re-sign Paul Pogba?
2017.
Wrong.
19.
Go on.
Hold on.
2018. Wrong.
Come back,
Julie.
What did you say?
I thought Wait, no. It's with the Lukaku and the. It's the dancing video. It's not 2019. He was here, wait.
Pew, pew.
22, 21, 20, 19, 18. It's not 17.
No.
Okay.
16.
Let me say 26. Right. 1-1.
Thank you. Happy missile
point. I knew it was Mourinho, but like, obviously.
Okay. Yeah. Next question. Who was the first black manager in the Premier League?
That sound killed me. That was a time though.
Okay, I don't know who was first. Brie, who was the first? Okay.
Go on.
Tamer.
Ruud Gullit.
Correct.
I wouldn't have said Ruud Gullit anyway.
Who would you have said, by the way?
Who's that Brian manager? I was going
to. You were going to say Chris Houghton, innit? I knew it.
Thank God you got it first.
No, the bright manager, like a bit light skin. What was his name?
Chris Houghton.
Our
half Ghanaian brother.
Okay, next question. The right team are currently 3-1 ahead.
How 3-2-1?
2-1 ahead.
2-1.
Sorry, my maths, not mathing. Who was the last black player to lift the Premier League trophy? Yep.
Okay, it's time to think a little bit.
What do you mean?
Is it
a captain?
A captain.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, but it's Fernandinho Black. Guys, I'm
on. I'm trying to think. Yeah.
What do you think?
Fernandinho? Correct.
Yeah. Yay. Happy for yourself.
Oh, right? She said it and I was just like.
Happy for yourself.
No, but I don't know if Fernandinho is black. Remember we were saying the South Americans?
But look, his skin descent. Like, you can't deny.
I mean, just 7 minutes. So yeah, I can't deny
okay.
it.
Okay. Next question.
So 2-1 now.
Yeah. 2-2. In what year did the Super Eagles win Olympic gold football team?
That ain't my country.
Pew pew. Go ahead. Philippa.
I hate the sound.
96.
Correct.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm on the board.
3-2. Next question. Who was the first black BBC female pundit? It's a girl.
Oh, pew.
Did you say female?
Friend of the show, don't embarrass
Alex
us.
Scott.
Correct. Yes.
No.
It's going to say babes.
Are you sure?
BBC, yes.
BBC, yes.
2017, mm-hmm. She was first.
I'm just happy
that we can. As in to host. Like
oh, yes, host. Host. Oh, to host, yeah.
Should okay. This question.
Oh, God.
It's real.
There's 15. It's 3-3. This is the tiebreaker.
Tiebreaker, let's go.
Do we go back and forth?
There is 15 players. Huh? We are going to go back and forth. Because it's an odd number. Someone must win.
Can we start?
There are 15 black players in the Premier League 100 Club.
Yeah.
Name all of them. So they were first, then we're going to go back and forth.
Okay.
Joyce.
Sterling.
Yes.
Who did you say?
Sterling. You can't repeat, by the way.
Andy Cole.
Correct.
Thierry Henry.
Correct.
Dwight York.
Correct.
Lukaku.
Correct.
Didier Drogba.
Correct.
Andy Cole.
Look. Said it.
We said it first.
No. You said Dwight York.
No, she said Andy Cole first.
Oh.
And then I said Dwight York.
So the point goes to them. Keep going.
No, but we didn't know who they were saying.
Either. No, she said Andy Cole. It was the first one she said.
Let's just continue. Go ahead.
Who's go is it?
You guys. You guys have got an extra point, though.
Oh.
What number is this, by the way?
This is the last question.
No, how many have you named?
Four.
So Lukaku, Sterling.
So they're ready.
So they lose a point.
Let's pause. We will continue this question. I'm just going to list out the strikers and players that have already been named.
Okay.
Andy Cole, Dwight York, Thierry Henry, Romelu Lukaku, Raheem Sterling.
And Drogba.
There's a few more. Back to team on the right.
Anelka?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, he did. Shoot. Oh, good shout. 100.
Black.
No. Obviously, no. No.
Say it.
I would say that, yeah.
And I'm just trying to think of another one after that one.
Oh, let me go opposite.
Go on.
Ian Wright?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Mane?
Fuck.
Yes.
Oh, shoot, yeah, Mane.
Wait, there's three players left.
Does. Ooh.
Get 100,
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah? Should you say it?
Yeah.
Oh, Jimmy Defoe.
Yes. Oh. Yes. Two players left.
Yes.
How many left?
Two.
No, he hasn't got any yet.
No, three. Three
left.
Three.
Mm.
Kane?
Absolutely not. Sorry. Ah, Nigeria's the coffee. Sorry.
Sorry. Sorry. Sorry.
Next, next.
Go ahead.
Oh, three more.
Three
so
more.
Did we get a point for that?
No. Yeah. No. So that gave them the point for the one that you guys got wrong. Yes. No, the one that they got wrong. So you're now tied again. Two more. Yeah. Oh. 2 minutes. Oh. I'm going to give you guys 30 seconds before we move on.
Shoot.
5 seconds, sorry.
You ain't gotta go home again. Get out of here.
4, 3, same. 2, 1, shift.
Same.
No, back again.
Oh, maybe.
Shift.
Heskey?
No, I thought you were going to say someone else.
Wait.
No, he's near.
No.
Did he? Do we have a short, have a guess?
I don't know.
Should I say Adebayo? Adebayo, absolutely.
Hey!
They're going to slow us on the TL.
Oh, actually, no, the answer. What was his name? Oh, I've got it.
Tima, Philippa, I'm going to rush you guys for answer. Nothing? Go ahead.
Benteke.
Huh?
Oh, okay.
She was so confident. She said, "I have to answer."
Can we get a point for that?
You did get a point for that because they did get it wrong. So the left side are our winners. But we are
very hollow. That was a very hollow.
I am going to reveal the last three players before we wrap up.
Black Star Shining.
Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank.
Oh.
Dion Dublin.
Of course.
And Darren Bent.
Of course, she asked us if Dion Dublin was
Darren Bent has
Darren Bent is in the Peter 100 Club. Wow. But guys, let's wrap up. So please do follow all of our socials on Gold Diggers UK. Thank you guys for tuning in and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.